This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Well, initially it was like, okay, I've lost my personality, my ego. That went on for a couple of years, and then eventually it's like, kick yourself in the backside and say, no more. You know, you have to look into yourself and say, what do you want to do? Go find out somewhere where you can do what you'd really like to do. There is an opportunity there.
Kelly and Company, sharing your stories.
Lots rolled into one show. We call it Kelly and Company. A variety of items. We get on the program, learn a lot, talk a lot, and of course, when we can, we laugh a lot. But basically for you, ladies and gentlemen, we're happy to have you part of the family here of Kelly and Company. Ramya Muthan, she's at her home studio in Toronto. Kelly McDonald at the home studio in London, Ontario. And hanging out at his home, ready to share with us the buzz. We do this on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the program, is Bill Shackleton, producer over here at AMI. And we like to start the hour, the second hour of the program, chatting with some of the great stuff Bill finds as he looks for articles from around the world, some interesting topics, and he has quite a variety. We never know where we're going to go. Shackadoodle, welcome back, sir, and took a little look at the email you sent out, giving us a tease of what we're going to discuss. Some great stuff.
Yes, and actually, I'm going to do this first one. It's interesting. Hockey Night in Canada, to stream NHL games, to promote diversity. So essentially, on April 17th, they're going to be streaming in conjunction with Molson Canadian and Sportsnet. They're going to be streaming two games, the Vancouver Canucks against the Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers against the Winnipeg Jets. By the way, this is from CTV News. The hope is that there will be that kids from other countries, there are a lot of people apparently that watch hockey that don't speak English. The hope is that it will promote more diversity, so more coaches can get into the game. Apparently, there are now. I got to be careful and say that there are no coaches of color in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
We need more players because we have kids from other countries who want to play, even if they don't speak English. You know, they know the game, and the hope is that more kids will get involved in hockey. If they know that a coach can speak their language is part of the scene, so to speak.
You know, Bill, it's really funny because it is so true in all the sports. We have seen that and let's be fair, not intentionally, as the years have gone on, there are definitely a time where certain sports, the segregation was there back in the day. But now we're talking about a lot of different people from around the world that are first or second or, you know, third generation Canadian. Their families have been here, but they don't see themselves represented. And if you don't feel yourself represented, you feel not welcome. But how can anyone relate to you, or where's the resource for me to step in? Would I be taken serious? And, you know, women will say the same. We see around the sports leagues, the professional sports leagues, where are women part of the coaching squads that are out there? And really, we're seeing that if it's not a woman's sport, if it's a male dominated sport or one of the male leagues, in coaching and advisors in maybe fitness and stuff like that, consultants. So we are seeing some of that. But when you look at people of color, or if you just, you know, we know that hockey mainly used to be dominated by Canadians. My goodness, the Americans felt like that. Like, how am I going to get in there? It's not a sport over here. And we struggle to make it big. So I really love to see this. I'd love to see how this goes over, and how people, as we've seen more attempts by the two networks out there right now, TSN, Sportsnet, and now with CBC/Sportsnet doing this. It really does open it up just as much as having a ladies' night broadcast, wanting to push more women into media sports media like they did with the Raptors game a couple of weeks ago. Nice.
Well, I'm going to give you the languages. In addition to French and English, it's going to be an Arabic, Cantonese, German, Hindi, Mandarin, and Kayatuk, a South African one. I forgot what that is, but basically it's going to be the unfortunate part is if it's I did reach out to Jeff about this. It's going to be on Sportsnet, and they have several, like Sportsnet East, Sportsnet West, Sportsnet 1, 2, 3, and 4. I don't believe Sportsnet is free, or is it, or am I wrong there?
I think some of the Sportsnet is, like Sportsnet Now and or World, I think you have to pay for. And I'm not sure on cable packages because I'm a sports person, so I have them all anyway. But I would imagine a lot of the streaming will go on, too, and all the resources that way.
And the other language, sorry, is Tagalog. I believe that's an African, but I'm not really sure.
Wow.
It'll be really interesting to see how, you know, because you've heard baseball in Spanish, and how the different commentators are going to handle it. And I mean, even though that you won't be able to... How are they going to translate hockey? Is it going to be fast enough? How are they going to, you know, how's it going to work?
I would absolutely love to hear interviews with the announcers that are doing these. I don't mean of the players, but just their process, because unfortunately there isn't a high demand for a lot of the hockey to be broadcast in these languages. When I say high demand for these people to have work to be able to do it. Nobody's hiring them to do these games in these languages. So I would love to know, for one, adaptations of words they may have had to adapt to be able to call a game to make sense, because sports are full of slang, really. You really think about references and terminologies and things like that. It's the things are maybe being used in a different way pertaining to that sport. So I think those interviews would be cool, Bill.
It would be. Good luck with that story. I'm looking forward to that. Now, the next one we have is the next time you buy a box of chocolates, make sure you check the expiration date. Because it could have been made 121 years ago.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't know how well it would taste, but anyway, this story is, a box of chocolates, commissioned by Queen Victoria was, found in a helmet case by the eighth Earl, in England, essentially the eighth baronet, who brought it home from the Boer War. So apparently, as the story goes, the Roundtree was commissioned by the Queen Victoria to basically design and package a whole bunch of these chocolate tins to boost morale to the British soldiers who fought in the Boer War 121 years ago. So apparently, initially, they were hesitant to do it because they were against the war. But Queen Victoria convinced them to, and this is good, to commission these chocolates. And apparently, they commissioned many, many tins. And, you know, one of these tins ended up in a building that was commissioned by the baronet's family. They commissioned a building that donated to the National Trust in Britain. So in that building, somewhere in the attic, they found a helmet case, and they found this box of chocolates. Mm. And apparently, they don't look very good. but they're still identifiable as chocolates.
Okay, you didn't say they're still edible. Got it.
I don't know that they're still edible.
Wow.
They're just trying to make it last, right? Like, they're just trying to make it, because what do you think? They'll put it on display of some sort?
Well, eventually they're going to put it on display. They don't know when. Now, they've wrapped it up in some sort of an acid paper to preserve it. So there is a there are several artifacts from that the Baronet brought back, but unfortunately the chocolate isn't one of them yet. But it would be interesting to see what they actually taste like, if they actually taste them at all.
Well, Amuthan, that really takes you going after Easter to get the old chocolate. Boy, that takes it to a new height.
Yeah. I don't know if we should be trying these 121-year-old chocolates, but maybe they can figure out what was in them. I'm curious to know what they look like, though.
Yeah, the shape they're in. Yeah,
exactly.
They may have been round. Yeah.
Billy would try 120-year-old beer for no problem, right, Bill?
But beer would actually probably taste better.
What's this Billy speaking? Years later.
I do chocolate too. I would love to see what they tasted like.
Yeah, I'd be too afraid. I'd be afraid of what might have grown inside the chocolate time.
Yeah, number one, gross.
Oh,
boy.
Shaq, you want to squeeze one more in very quickly?
Yeah, we can do it. Canada's first newspaper was established. In Halifax, it was a two-page tabloid, and it back in the 1800s and basically before Halifax became a province. And it had, it featured dispatches from Europe and England, and they had a little bit of advertising. It was free. It was done out of a printer's shop, and a newspaper publisher in Boston. Actually, his partner donated the printing press and died. Wow. So the partner became the publisher of the newspaper just by accident, by inheriting the building and inheriting the printing press.
Nice.
Wow. Very interesting story. Again, it was free.
Yeah. What year was that, Bill?
Was it 1863 or something like that? It was, something like that.
Wow, that's amazing when you think about that, the printing press, everything like that. And how many of these papers back then must have been just a one person who does all, and I've got to put the paper to bed and just make sure that they get everything in there. I wonder how many recipes they'd throw in.
Yeah, there were recipes there. They were lawyers, advertising their wares and this sort of thing.
Wow.
So... it's now the Royal Gazette, and it's Halifax's paper.
Isn't that something? Thanks, pal.
Thanks a lot.
Bill Shackleton, The Buzz, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, right here on Kelly & Company. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. Next up, Devin Wilkins brings us our guide dog and service animal report. Stay tuned. You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.